So Joshua is literally at the end of his life. Remember, he took Moses' place, but he's still now almost 90 years old. And this is his final address, if you will, to the nation of Israel in these last two chapters of Joshua, chapter 23 and chapter 24. And then at the end of chapter 24, he dies, goes to heaven. But here in chapter 23, we're going to look at the first 13 verses where it says, "And it came to pass a long time after." So we don't really know how many years it's been. He was 85 the last we heard. So he could be 90, 95. "That the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. The Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he that promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, that they shall be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God have given you." So our title tonight is "Don't Cleave Unto the Remnant." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn and grow through your word tonight. I pray for the many in our flock that are not well, that you'll raise them up with healing in your time. Protect those that are traveling, even today, back from their holidays. And please meet with us as we open our hearts to hear from you tonight in regards to the remnant. May you be glorified and guide us. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God, through Joshua, is making it very clear that all that they had up to this point was because of God. Amen. Notice verse 3. "You have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations." It would be easy for Israel at this point to step back and say, "Look at all these cities that we've conquered. Look at all these kings that we've conquered. Look at all these heathen that we have killed." But if God had not been with them, none of that would have happened. And God is making that very clear. The Lord did this for you. God was with you. God fought for you. As it says there, the Lord your God, he that is he that hath fought for you. God will fight for us. But we have to remember that everything that we have, all the blessings, it came from God. We didn't earn any of them. We didn't deserve any of them. All that we have is because we serve a gracious and merciful God. Amen. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." It's all because of his grace and his mercy. And so Joshua goes on to say in verse 5, the Lord your God, he shall expel them. There's more to be taken, like we saw a few weeks ago. He said, you need to keep going, keep pushing. How long are you slack? Keep taking these cities, keep taking these nations. If you will fight, God will expel. But as we saw a few weeks ago, they had stopped fighting. When we fight for him, God will give the victory. But if we stop fighting, God stops expelling. And that's what happened here. God's desire is that we move into the promised land and that we have an abundant Christian life. Amen. John 10:10, that they might have life more abundantly. And for us, everything should be new. We're a new creature. But Joshua was warning them that there's still a remnant left. Don't cleave unto the remnant. So what's the key to this being possible when we go into the promised land and want to live for God? The first key, of course, as always, verse 6, is obedience. Look what he says. Be ye therefore very courageous to what? Keep and to do. It always starts there. Keep and do what? All that is written in the book. Keep the word, to obey the word of God. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the first key to being able to continue to expel the things out of our life that shouldn't be there, the first key to winning these victories and not cleaving to the remnant, the things that are left behind in our life that shouldn't be there, is always obedience. Obedience. That's where Joshua began. Be courageous to what? Obey. Keep and do. Verse 7, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you. There's still things left to expel. And I don't care how long we've been saved, we're not there yet. Amen? There's still things that we need to remove from our lives so that we could be more effective Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. But, sadly, as we saw, Israel chose to not obey and not continue to expel. Look at Judges chapter 3, just over a couple chapters. And verse 1, look what God says about these nations that they left behind. Judges 3:1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left, look what it says, to prove Israel. Does God prove his children? All the time. And there are things in our lives that need dealt to. If we don't deal to them, they'll deal to us. He says there in verse 7 of our passage, don't even mention the name of their gods. He says, yeah, don't serve them, don't bow down to them, but don't even mention their name. Don't even validate them by even talking about them at all, in other words. They are from the devil. So don't focus on them. Don't talk about them. And you know, we as Christians, look at Romans 16:19. We need to be the same. Look at Romans 16:19. We need to be careful when it comes to this remnant, this sin that's in our lives, a lot of it from our past, if we got saved later in life. God says, don't even talk about it. Leave it in the past. I'm all for people giving testimonies about God rescuing them, but I'm not for people giving testimonies detailing all the sin of their past life. That's not what we should be doing. That just pleases the devil when we mention his things. Notice Romans 16:19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, in your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And look at this last phrase. Simple concerning evil. Sometimes Christians dwell too much on the evil, dwell on the evil things. And I'm not saying they necessarily indulge in them, but God says just don't even make mention. Don't even talk about it. He says to them, don't even mention their gods. Don't serve their gods. Don't bow down to their gods. They're all from the devil. There's only one true God, and that's the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. He says, stay away from it. And we do that, verse 8 of our passage, Joshua 23. Our second key here is to cleave unto the Lord. The first key, obviously, verse 6 is obedience. But the second key, look what he says, cleave unto the Lord. Now that word cleave we're familiar with because he talks about it regarding marriage, doesn't he? Man shall leave his father and mother and shall, what? Cleave unto his wife. God says, cleave unto the Lord. Stay close to God. Amen. Cleave unto him. And when Jesus came, he was giving the Beatitudes. What did he say? When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:6. Cleave. Get close to God and stay close to God. Amen. Cleave unto the Lord. And if we don't, it's going to make it that much more difficult to not cleave unto the remnant. The things that are still left in our lives that God wants to expel. We must cleave unto the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 12:30, thou shalt love, amen, the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And that, of course, is in verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Cleave and love God. So we need to obey his word, and we need to cleave unto the Lord. Love him. Stay close to him. Because if we don't, look what's going to happen in verse 12. Else if you do in any wise, go back. Have there ever been Christians that have gone back? Yes. Multitudes. Paul even mentioned a few in his own ministry that traveled with him for a while and they what? They gave up and went back. They quit on God. He says, if you go back and cleave unto the remnant, they're just going to be thorns. Well, we'll see that in a moment. God, if you look at Leviticus 18, verse 3, God wanted Israel to be different from their past, different from the Egypt that he delivered them from. Leviticus 18, look at verse 3. And it's what he wants for his children today. He wants us to be different from the world. Leviticus 18, 3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Isn't that interesting? Don't do what was in your past, and don't do what you're surrounded by, which is Canaan, the world. This remnant of nations that was still there. For us, what is it? It's this world and the world system and the world ways, right? Love not the world, lust the flesh, lust the eyes, pride of life. Don't do the what was in your past before you were a Christian. And don't do anything that the world tells you to do. Don't cleave unto the remnant. But we get to the New Testament. He says the same thing. Look at John 17:15. Jesus here in John 17 is praying with his disciples in the upper room. And look what he says in this prayer. He says to God, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He says to God, the Father, Lord, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. The world needs them. The world needs them to be light. The world needs them to be salt. So I don't pray that you remove them from the world and put them on a mountaintop in some commune somewhere. No. But I do pray that you keep them from the evil. Because they're surrounded by evil. Well, now Israel's gone into the promised land. Only five of the tribes have taken their land. Or seven, whichever we saw last week. And they're still surrounded by all these Canaanites. By all this wickedness. All this idolatry. All this sin. And Joshua says what? You need to obey the word of God. You need to cleave to God because the alternative is you'll go back And instead of cleaving to God, verse 12 of our passage, you're going to cleave unto the remnant. The remnant represents the things in our life that need still dealt to. Look at Romans 12:2, if you would. Yeah, I've dealt with Christians many times over the years. They'll say, oh, I can't control my temper. It's just the way I am. I've always had a hot temper. I've always had a short fuse. And what they want is for someone to validate that and say, well, you can't help it, you poor thing. That's just how you are. But when they come into my office, that's not what they get. What they get is, well, then you need to change. And with God's help, you can. Because having a temper and a short fuse is sin. And God doesn't want sin in your life. You need to get it dealt to. Notice Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. This is what Joshua was telling Israel. Don't cleave unto the remnant. Don't conform to their ways. Don't conform to their gods. Don't conform to their customs. No, that's why I told you at the beginning to kill everything. And as we saw last week in the book of Judges, they did not. And then one more verse on this is James chapter 4 and verse 4. But for us as God's children, yes, we need to obey, and yes, we need to cleave unto the Lord, because if we don't, the devil's going to try to trick us into cleaving unto the remnant. Things from our past that still give us grief. You know, the Bible talks about that besetting sin, right, in Hebrews chapter 12. The devil knows what it is, and he's going to keep trying to use it against us. He's going to try to get us to cleave unto the remnant. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? If we cleave unto the remnant instead of cleaving unto the Lord God, what's going to happen? Look at verse 13 of Joshua 23. If we choose to not obey and not expel the remnant, but instead cleave unto the remnant, here's what's going to happen. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of those nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. How many castaway Christians have there been in the past 2,000 years? Christians who cleaved unto the remnant, cleaved unto their past, the sins of their lives that God's been trying to expel. And what happened? They perished from off the good land. In other words, they left the promised land, went back across the Jordan, back into the desert. And they're wandering around in the desert. Cleaving unto the remnant, they've become a friend of the world. And James 1:27 says we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years, there's things that God wants to expel out of your life. And he says, what does he say? If we are willing to trust him and fight, verse 5, he shall expel them. No, we don't have the strength to do it ourselves. We're just weak. My friend, we have God on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We have God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us. And so if we're willing to take up our sword and keep fighting, what does God say? He shall expel them. Amen? He promises that he will expel the things that need removed out of our life so we can keep living in the promised land and not cleaving unto the remnant. It always comes down to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we, like them, need to be careful not to cleave unto the remnant, but to continue to expel. That's a good word, isn't it, for Christians? To continue to expel as God said He would do with us, the things out of our life that shouldn't be there, so that we can live that victorious Christian life that God wants every one of us to live till we get to the end. And we want to be able to say, like Paul, 2 Timothy 4:7, I'll turn there and read it quickly. This should be our goal, to say, I have fought a good fight. Amen? This is Paul's last chapter that he wrote before he was martyred in Rome. And he says, I fought a good fight. I never stopped fighting. Amen? Never stopped fighting the devil. Never stopped fighting the old man. Never stopped fighting the world. He says, I've finished my course. And I've kept the faith. All right, that should be our goal. But if we cleave to the remnant, that will not be our final declaration. We'll instead be a Christian that's been put on a shelf and is wandering in the desert. So he says, don't cleave unto the remnant, cleave unto God. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this amazing lesson from Israel and from Joshua. I pray, Lord, that it will be our desire to keep living for you, honoring you with our lives, loving you, serving you, Lord, in the promised land until you take us home. And that we, like Paul, can get to the end and say, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. So may we beware how the devil just keeps dangling that remnant in front of our eyes. May we understand exactly what he's doing and expel. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you.